Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, including Michelob Ultra 30-pack cans, $22.97 between now and Tuesday. Also, Shock Top 15-pack cans, $12.49. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. Eh, look, it's hot. It's humid out. Guess what? You want to make sure you have nice, cold, refreshing beverages around. And that's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ah, yes, the best in the business, Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great products, great sales staff, best service department around. All right, before we get to the King, you know what? Thank goodness the Astros played the Rangers last night because it allowed us to give you the play-by-play call of the day.
Here's the 1-2 hit hard near second off the knee of Altuve, and it kicks violently into foul ground. DeShields has scored. Mazzara easily to third. Joey slides into second before the ball makes its way back into the infield. Hard ground ball to the right side, and Altuve had a chance to make a play, slid into the direction of the ball, but it looked like it went off his knee. So a run is in, and the Rangers lead 2-0.
Joey Gallo, who homered in the All-Star game in Cleveland, comes up with a big hit there last night, and the Rangers beat the Astros 5-0. By the way, the Phillies play tonight against the Nationals, 6:05, 5:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Top of the sixth at Wrigley, where the Pirates and the Cubs are scoreless. And with that, we do bring in the King.
Actually, the King must be holding court somewhere.
What?
I know. I texted him twice earlier this week, including this morning, just to give him a little friendly reminder that we were going to put him on a half an hour early today. Actually, I even mentioned it to him last Friday before we went on the air. Called the office, got voicemail. Called the home number, just keeps ringing. I tried the better half's number because I had her cell phone number from last fall when they visited last fall.
And she will answer it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, no. There are better odds of her answering it than him.
Well, I was calling on our studio line, so it was a number probably she's completely unfamiliar with. But we'll keep at it.
Well, hope one he's okay. Of the... I'm sure he's fine. The what's interesting is that the NFL's made this proposal. I already updated everybody on the scores. At one point, also that Roger Federer beat Rafa Nadal in four sets. Okay, and now he gets Novak Djokovic Sunday for the Wimbledon title. All right. So now let's get to the NFL proposal. I see this, and they've been subtly pushing the 18-game deal, They've been trying to sell it to fans quite simply as instead of playing four preseason games, you know, in some cases five, you play in the, if you play in the Hall of Fame game, you have five of them. But instead of playing the four, we'll play two and we'll play 18. So that's how they tried to sell it. And it didn't gain any traction. Okay. Then they've brought it up again and it gained no traction. And now they're proposing, because of the, look, it's a tough, hard sport. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. That the players don't want to play more than 16 games. So they have floated the idea of an 18-game schedule, but the players would be limited to 16 each. Okay. But do you put in an exception for a quarterback? Does Tom Brady get to play 18 games? Baker Mayfield? Jared Goff? Roethlisberger? Carson Wentz? They get to play 18 games. How do you... There's going to be certain elements, by the way, that will play themselves out naturally. Out a couple weeks with an injury, turned an ankle, bumped up a knee, you're going to be questionable, doubtful anyway. Okay. So some of that stuff will play itself out naturally. There'll be others, obviously, that'll be lost for the season, unfortunately. How do you then handle the rest of the schedule? Do you stagger? During the season, a couple guys here, a couple guys here, a couple guys there. Or do you pick weekends where you do it all at once? It brings with it incredible questions. And how many times have you heard me say that when you come up with a proposal, what's the first thing you need to talk about in the proposal? What are the unintended consequences? There may be something that you put out there that seems like a terrific idea. And then, boy, I didn't realize that might happen. Wow. And that goes under the category of unintended consequences. Well, this brings with it a series of unintended consequences. They're so desperate to play 18 games, they're trying to come up with anything, any way to do it. And I don't see how they can do it. Well, he's arrived.
Yeah, I forgot.
And to think I thought this meant so much to you.
Well, I was ready for 4:30. I was.
I have lived for
Sean
life.
Sean definitely texted me and said 4:05 or emailed me, and I said, okay, I answered it too. So,
there's live for life is tonight. I'm part of that.
Good. That's a good thing.
So how are you feeling? You've got the big surgery on Tuesday.
I got canceled.
It got canceled?
Oh, no. What happened?
I got cellulitis again.
Ay.
Mm. I wasn't kidding about the wedding.
I knew that.
I don't know why it keeps coming back, and they can't operate if you have an infection in your body. So,
right.
Especially if they're putting a new body part in. So if the infection gets on the other side of it, you're in deep trouble. So.
No, I know.
So I got to wait it out more. Got to find out why the cellulitis keeps coming back. I'm in good shape. Everything's fine. Everything is... Friday I went and got my CAT scan. Everything was fine. Saturday, I didn't go to work right away. And my wife was like, why are you sitting here? And I said, I just can't get moving today, you know. And then I came in here, and it's the first time I got scared. I was, because it was a holiday weekend, nobody's around.
Right.
And I was like, man, if I fall down, I was so weak, I couldn't. I felt like I felt that night at State College after the football game.
You were in bad shape.
Yeah, and I was like, what is going on? And so I made it home, and I just fell asleep. I woke up, my leg was beet red, and that was that. Got cellulitis again. They put me on antibiotics and all that, and then I went in and saw the surgeon, and in 10 seconds he said, no way. Not doing it. Crap. I'm not going to go through all this again. Hey, he made the right call. No complaint from me. I'm frustrated, but, you know, I'll be okay. I just got to wait a month and try it again. So, I mean, the cellulitis is gone now, but he wants it gone for a solid month.
Right, I don't blame him, because...
Well, I had it a month ago, a light case of it. This was a bad one. I was a quarter of an inch of red of them putting me in the hospital again. And I said, please don't. And the doctor looked at Claire, and she took a pen, and she drew a line all around my leg, and she said, if that red crosses this line, he's going directly to the hospital. And she said, okay. So, wrong person to tell that, you know.
because she would make sure.
No, I just washed it off and moved the line. No.
His white out all over his leg. What's the?
I got a line drawn across my chest.
Doctoring
I'm
the line. Doctoring the line.
I was out tanning myself and I had something there.
So with your antibiotic,
it is what it is. I brought a lot of this on myself, but a lot of it I didn't, and it's just the way it goes, and you just deal with it.
So with a lot of worse things.
For a lot of other people, and you just life's journey. You deal with it, and then next year at this time, I'll be lean and mean and green. So, whatever.
Better than red, but so
how's everything going?
Is your antibiotic? Is it like a cream form, or you take a pill for it? What strength normally is it?
It's a pill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and well, she gave me a shot in the butt. That was fun. So I said, really? How
graphic.
Cool was that? Haven't got a shot in the butt in a long time. So she forced it right into me. She was good. She tried to make it so I could have my surgery.
The hip wasn't available. So she goes somewhere else.
I rolled my sleeve up so she could give me a shot in the arm. She said, nope, bend over. But how cool is this? So pulled my pants down. She said, not yet. I said, I don't know, whatever. Do what you got to do.
Oh, my God.
How was your day, honey? I had the most anxious patient today, ready to get a shot.
This is the same thing when I went to the hospital for the cellulitis. The doctor told me to pull my head. And let me tell you, this would be, I'm happily married, but this woman was absolutely beautiful. I mean, and Claire said, what a absolutely beautiful woman. She was Indian, and she was, so she said, just pull your sweatpants down around my ankles. So I'm standing there, and after 5 minutes, she goes, you know you can pull your pants back up. I said, oh, okay. That's good. So, life in the fast lane. So I told you about Megan Rapone. She's the kind that if you give her enough rope, she'll hang herself, you know? She made an absolute fool out of herself the other day.
Well, you know what?
Player.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I look at what's going on with them. Realistically, let's be realistic about it. Can anybody out there tell me what she has done the last 3 years since the last World Cup? No, right. Well, no, I'm saying though, she's done a lot, but nobody knows. When you're in a sport like this, they're like an Olympic sport. where the pole vaulter, wow, we are awed by the pole vaulter. He cleared 20 feet, the whole thing. But for 3 years before that, you got to be a diehard pole vaulting fan to know what said pole vaulter has done the last 3 years. Everybody else has no clue because they're completely off the radar. And, you know, and I'm not saying this to be mean or cruel. I'm just saying this to be factual.
That's right? A fact.
Right?
But once this is done, give it another 2 months, and it's going to be an afterthought.
Right.
And
I mean,
they want to make equal money. They made more money than the men this year because they advanced a lot further. But if the men went the same, now I'm not 100% sure on the numbers, but I'm pretty sure. If the men went as far as the women did in the World Cup, they'd have brought in $6 billion. The women brought in $151 million.
Right.
It's not an equal, unless they can't do math, that's just the way it goes. It has nothing to do with male or female.
Well,
it has to do with how many people are watching the game. And their pro league, I heard the numbers, they're going to need to draw at least 30,000 people a game in order for the league to work. And I know that's not going to happen.
Work. Now, this is how I look at
it. Going to be lucky to get 6,000 a game. And the league is going to hold. And unfortunately for them, because they're wonderful people, they're incredible athletes, but the interest is not there. And
yeah, you can't force people to watch stuff. But this is how I look at the equal pay thing. I look at the equal pay thing in two ways. Let's just start with this country. Well, in this country with the U.S. Soccer Federation, I do think they should have equal pay because... A, because they've won 4 times, they do very well ratings-wise, which number two means that they've done a very good job of growing the game in this country, which in turn, number three, has made them, you know, interesting, and they play an interesting, fun style. The men have frustrated this country. I mean, as I said, you got to get you got to clear the Trinidad and Tobago hurdle before I start getting exciting.
Yeah, right? But there's a lot going on there. Think about it. What sports in America do the women have to play on a high level?
Oh, I understand
basketball and soccer. What sports do men have to play on a high level? Football, baseball, hockey. You can go down a long list before you get to soccer. And that's the difference. That... Our women's team is getting the cream of the crop, the best women athletes we have to give. The men's team's not getting the cream of the crop at all.
Well, but they're also
athletes nobody would touch us in soccer.
But they're also not winning, and thus
they're not as good as the other countries. The other countries have the cream of the crop because that's all they do. They play soccer and they play basketball, I think.
And
that's it.
And
in turn,
they're not. The men aren't growing the game in this country the way they should be growing it because they aren't winning. Now, the second level, though, is the World Cup level. Well, the World Cup level is a different level. You can't run out and claim equal pay on the World Cup level.
Nope.
Because I'm talking about World Cup. Okay, I'm not talking about the U.S. Soccer Federation. That's a different top. Okay, on the World Cup. Hey, they're going to double the prize money from $30 million to $60 million for the women. They're going to give the men 10% more. But 10% more takes them from $400 million to $440 million. Look, that's what drives the engine. And that I'm sorry, you've got to look at things from a pure business model. And in a pure business model... In this country, the women are doing very well, so in a pure business model, they should be rewarded for it. But on the world stage, the women's game is not doing anywhere near as well business-wise as the men's game. You've got to go with what drives the engine. You've got to take the emotion out of it.
Well, I think most everybody has, except for the women playing the sport. And my issue, to me, someone like Megan Rapone, well, why are you still playing soccer if you're not happy with the money you're making? You could coach at any major college. You could do anything you want unless And then I learned why this week. The woman has never grown up. She's like a child. She dropped the F-bomb four times. Admittedly, when she was at the ESPY. I saw her at her speech in New York City. It's like, my gosh, you guys are running around saying that you're role models for young women, and you're talking with a trash mouth like that?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
she was half in the bag. She's up there. It's like, this is, you're, what is she, 38 years old?
34.
Come on, at that point, go get a job and stop playing soccer if you're unhappy with what they're
paying. Right, she has a job, and she's making a lot of money from that job. I mean, believe me.
Most of those people who complain the way she does, I mean, she's a good soccer player. She's a very good soccer player. She's the best player on the team. I don't know a lot about soccer, but boy, every time she touched the ball, nobody could cover her.
Right.
You know, if she wasn't injured, she'd have scored more. But what fascinates me is what's getting lost in the shuffle is that save the goaltender made.
Yeah,
she saved their butt, period.
The Penn Stater, Alyssa Nair.
Yeah.
Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year.
That was an amazing save. I mean, just absolutely, to me, the biggest play of the whole tournament. And everybody else got all the credit. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year in 2009. She had a great career here at Penn State. So, everybody that's met Alyssa, I mean, you can't ask for nicer. You can't ask for classier.
Sure
you can't ask
is.
For classier. She's terrific.
On a scale of where they're given Morgan, is that her last name?
Alex Morgan,
Alex Morgan. She's a tremendous player. And so is...
Megan Rapinoe.
Megan Rapinoe. They're incredibly good. And that kid who scored the goal, the real goal, not a penalty kick.
Rose Lavelle,
that kid is good.
Rose
She's
Lavelle.
Really good.
Yeah.
But the goaltender saved them. Without that penalty save, they may have lost that game, and they would have been eliminated.
Right.
They came really close to being eliminated. And that is, man, what a save. That was just... one of the greatest athletic plays I've ever seen, you know, on such a big stage with all the pressure on. And she didn't just knock it away. She caught it.
Yeah.
Great play.
Yeah, it was a great play.
And, to me, she was the MVP.
I mean, I would hope that at some point they can get her and Allie Krieger back here to Penn State this fall to be honored for something. I'm sure they're going to try to. So.
Yeah, they deserve. Krieger played very well.
Krieger had half. She had to come in when O'Hara got hurt.
Yeah.
And Allie had been on the team. I mean, Allie's been on the team, but then I want to say Allie is 34 now herself.
Yeah.
And so they added her back to the team in April, with the thought process: if something happens, I want an experienced hand out there. Well, something did happen. And her second half in the championship was outstanding.
She was tremendous. You felt very confident with her over there. The game was great. It was a great game.
Yeah.
Because that was a really good team they played. I've watched them the whole tournament, and they were lights out every game. They were good. Oh.
Next half hour, Tim Kelly will join us to talk about the Phillies. Best of shows next week. I didn't know we had any.
The Phillies are on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Swing and a drive to deep left field. Back goes Granderson to the wall. He looks up. It's gone. Goodbye. Couple rows back into the left field stands. Andrew McCutchen, a solo home run. It's his fifth home run of the season.
Phillies baseball on WKOK is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, Turbinville National Bank, Whispering Oaks Vineyard, and WNL Subaru.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Breaking news. news. Ford Motor Company has just announced 20% off many of their popular vehicles. But at Sunbury Motors,
we think you deserve more.
At SMC, take 23% off new Ford F-150s. That's up to $14,500 off. Sunbury Motors Ford has 25% off new 2019 Expeditions, which is a whopping $14,280 off. SMC has up to 30% off four-wheel drive EcoSports, and they start as low as $19,570. Pick from over 60 of the top-selling Ford Escapes and take 30% off. They're slashed to as low as $17,985. SMC is where you want to be in July, and save up to 30% on over four city blocks of new Fords. So hurry and save during Sunbury Motors Summer Sales Event. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, where we think you deserve more.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones' favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, it's another summer weekend. You need to be fully stocked. Now, there's going to be some heat, some humidity, so you want to have as many cold beverages around if you want. Now, if you love beer, they have the best in imports, domestics, microbrews. Nobody has a better selection. But maybe some people enjoy on a warm weekend night, maybe a wine cooler. Plenty of those. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Corey does an awesome job, and they will take very good care of you. Speaking of taking very good care of you, think about getting a new car. Well, if you're going to, Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors has the best products, outstanding sales staff, a service department that is second to none. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk with Tim Kelly in just a few moments. Get you ready for the second half of the season. Sort of the second half of the season. But we can do that with him in a few moments. Of course, the Russell Westbrook trade, another moment where Oklahoma City as a small market is going to be no better than an also-ran. And Houston, sensing there is an opportunity, acquired him to go with James Harden. And the West now is wide open. Golden State will be good, not great. The Lakers will be good, not great. The Clippers will be good, not great. Portland will be good, not great. Utah will be very good, not great. Houston will be very good, not great. Well, guess what? When you got a lot of very goods and not greats, you're going to have one heck of an interesting race out in the West. So Houston makes the deal. Chris Paul now goes to Oklahoma City, which means that I don't know if James Harden is going to appear in any more of the State Farm commercials. So, Oklahoma City, small market. They tried. They had at one point Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. They made it to the finals one year, lost to Miami. Then, slowly but surely, it broke apart. Durant left for the Golden State Warriors. And along the way, Harden was dealt. In fact, Harden was dealt first. He was dealt to Houston. To this day, I never could figure out why they did that. Then they lost Durant, and now they're traded Westbrook. It's a small market. They had its opportunity. Got to the finals one year. Now it turned out
Everybody has split and gone other places. They had Paul George. Ended up going to the Clippers. All right, let's get to the Phillies now. Second half of the season starts tonight. Now, of course, they're past the halfway mark game-wise, but now the second half unofficially after the All-Star break. So with that, let's give you a primer on the second half of the season for the Phillies and bring in Tim Kelly, Loaded on Phillies podcast. His next one is today, and also from PhilliesNation.com. Tim, welcome. It's great to have you with us again.
I've been great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's start with Jake Arrieta. What's the story there with him and his ability to keep pitching?
He has bone spurs in his elbow, and that is an injury that if he has surgery on, that would put him out for the rest of the season. Now, I think there is a legitimate debate to be had at this point how much he's helping the Phillies, but the Phillies certainly need stable arms in their rotation after Aaron Nola, and it appears he's going to continue to try to pitch through this. If he struggles this weekend, I think a decision will have to be made, but it appears he's going to get another shot to pitch this weekend.
Which then is the next part. The trade deadline is coming up. I know when I sit at Medler Field, Lebrano Park, doing the State College Spikes games, I've seen one scout after another now roll through because these trades are multi-level. What should the Phillies be looking for? Where might there be some interest?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the Phillies have a seven-game homestand after the All-Star break that features three with the Nationals this weekend and then four with the Dodgers. If the season ended today, they would be in one of the two wild card spots. If they completely tank in that seven-game stretch, which certainly isn't entirely out of the realm of possibility, then I think they do have to have a legitimate debate about what they are and whether it makes sense to buy. Certainly, though, they're not without needs. They probably need two starting pitchers, and that may even be being generous, and one of either a center fielder or a third baseman because Scott Kingery can't play, and probably even a reliever. So I would say they are in a situation where you wonder if they have too many holes to fix in one trade deadline. If they do choose to go in for a pitcher, a starting pitcher, I would say they should be looking for someone that is under team control beyond 2019. So that would rule out somebody like Madison Bumgarner. I think if you're making that type of trade, you're making a trade thinking the Phillies can win the World Series this year. And, you know, you'd love that to be the possibility, but in all likelihood, you would like someone that you have under team control beyond this season. So there's options like Marcus Stroman out there. I do just wonder if the Phillies, with limited prospect capital, feel that it's going to be worth going pushing the chips to the center of the table in this season.
All right, so Tim, they made a lot of moves in the offseason. And there isn't a single move they made in the offseason that I disagree with. In reality now, after that laundry list that you just gave us, shouldn't that tell us how far the Phillies had to go a year ago?
Yeah, I think a lot of us made the mistake of thinking the Phillies caught up with the Braves in the offseason. And even beyond the fact that you need a little bit more offensively from Bryce Harper, you need a little bit more offensively from JT Realmuto, as good as he's been on defense, I think you there's only so many holes you can fix on a team in one off season, and I don't think that speaks well to how the organization has developed talent, because a team like the Braves seems to continue to be able to recycle and bring up new pieces. The Phillies haven't done that, but it does speak to the fact that they fixed one aspect, which was their lineup, and even that I don't think has been as good as they expected. There's still lots of holes in the rotation. They haven't gotten the development they hoped for from any of Nick Pivetta, Zach Eflin, or Vince Velasquez. And then the bullpen, Hector Neris has had an excellent year, but they may have gone to the well one too many times with some veterans like Pat Neshek. Tommy Hunter's back now and looked good, but missed the first 3 months of the season. David Robertson hasn't pitched since mid-April, and Juan Nicasio just really hasn't been that good. So they tried to fix a lot in one off-season, and oftentimes that's a process that realistically takes two or three off-seasons.
You did mention in a previous answer, Tim, about the lack of organizational capital. I believe that's how you phrased it. So when you look at the minor league system, Adam Haseley did come up at one point, then he had to go on the IL. Is there any short-term help organizationally And is there any help trade-wise, organizationally?
Yeah, I don't think there's much help, because if there's much help starting rotation-wise, it would be here by now. They've been reluctant to move Adonis Medina, who's their top pitching prospect. Spencer Howard, who I would actually say is probably going to end up being a better prospect, he's not particularly close to the major league level. I think we've all seen what Alec Boehm is going to be. I think at least what we hope he's going to be is 30 home run power, at least come May next season, after the Phillies can secure another year of team control over him. I would imagine he'll be the starter at third base. Whether his glove plays at that position long term remains to be seen. But he's a legitimate middle of the order bat. Charlie Manuel, who knows a thing or two about hitting, was very complimentary of him at the Futures game. Beyond that, though, you mentioned Adam Haseley. It wouldn't surprise me, especially with an uncertain future for Odubel Herrera, if Haseley's the starting center fielder next season. But beyond Haseley, there just isn't a ton of impact talent at the upper levels of the minor leagues.
Now, as somebody who's seen Boehm play a lot, because he was at Williamsport last year, you're right. He certainly has the bat and can drive the ball. Problem at third base, though, Tim, is you've got to be able to bend down to get a ball. And that no offense, that's not his strong suit. I mean, defensively, he's going to have to make himself a lot better if he wants to be a guy that you can count on an everyday basis. I mean, if he hits 30 home runs, great, but you also can't give up 30.
You're right about that, and it's not as though the Phillies' best players have been particularly effective at fielding. Bryce Harper's actually had a bounce-back season defensively this year, but still, you kind of know what he is. You didn't sign him for his defense. He's an average to maybe slightly above-average fielder this year. Reese yeah. Hoskins, if we're being honest with ourselves, would probably be a DH on an American League team. So You don't really have a spot to put Boehm if it doesn't work at third base.
Right.
Maybe left
right.
field.
And Boehm, it, yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead,
I mean,
Tim.
Maybe you move him to left field if that becomes, or if the DH comes to the National League and you move Hoskins there, maybe Boehm becomes a third baseman. But if, for all intents and purposes, it would be much better for you if he clicks at third base.
Yeah, because Boehm to me is a DH. With all due respect to him, that's what I think he is when I watch him. How closely are you monitoring the minor leagues and the progress along the way of a guy like Mickey Moniak, who's now in the IL at Reading?
Mickey Moniak's interesting. I would say you mentioned progress. He's still a work in progress. He's only 21, but he was the number one pick overall. And when you consider what Vlad Guerrero, who just turned 20, and Ronald Acuna did at the All-Star game, Ronald Acuna's 21. 21 isn't that young anymore in Major League Baseball terms. He had very good numbers the second half of last season, and I think the Phillies were hoping he would go to Reading, which is a hitter's ballpark where Reese Hoskins and Scott Kingery and a variety of other people have seen their power numbers explode. I think the Phillies were hoping for an upkick there. So far, they haven't gotten that. He has 4 home runs and 38 RBIs. So it's still a wait and see on Mickey Moniak. He's not a bad player. He's going to reach the major league level. But is it fair to say that 3 years after him being the number one overall pick, his progression has been a little bit disappointing? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because, I mean, he'll be in Lehigh Valley next year in all likelihood, which then puts him as he at that point is to the threshold of the majors and might be a September call-up. He'd be doing that at the age of 22. Boehm probably will be at Lehigh Valley next year, but he might be a midseason call-up. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I would remind everyone that Boehm was drafted out of college and Moniak was out of high school. But again,
I pointed that out to everybody repeatedly.
Right, and the amount of people that are breaking into the league now at 20, 21, Moniak is not forcing your hand right now. It doesn't mean he won't develop into a good piece. Players develop at different paces. But for a number one pick, even in a year where there really wasn't a consensus number one pick and there was a financial strategy of why they maybe took him over other pieces, he's not kicking down the door.
Right. So now let's get back to the big club here along the way. How well have you? We've talked about the acquisitions they made. One guy you didn't mention is Gene Segura. What has he meant to the infield? What's he meant at the plate?
Gene Segura is someone that is an impact hitter. He goes the other way. Certainly, I think what a lot of people are going to remember from Gene Segura in the first half, for better or for worse, is the two occasions of not running out of the batter's box, which certainly have had an impact on this season, regardless of where you fall and whether he should have been benched or not benched. But he really is a very good hitter, and I would imagine he's going to have a strong second half. The thing to note, though, is there was a time where that trade appeared like a slam dunk, and Carlos Santana, which I am not particularly surprised by, but I know a lot of people are, has obviously had a bounce-back season. He's an all-star this year. And J.P. Crawford, who they sent there, is hitting like 280 with the Mariners since he's come up. So, and he's only 23 or 24 still. So Gene Segura is giving you an impact, but it's not an impact where you traded nothing to get him, I would say.
All right, so now we hit this part. You look at the Braves, and the Nationals are in front of them too. And for Bryce Harper, that's feel like a slice of irony. It's a half game. But what is it about, let's start with the Braves. Why weren't they able to close the gap on the Braves? Is it just a question of the Braves' young talent, just to its credit, just kept getting better?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why last year, and it's proving to be why again. The Phillies have gone through the number five spot in the rotation has turned into an absolute hole where four or five different guys haven't been able to do it. And meanwhile, the Braves just continue to pull up these arms like Mike Soroka. Mike Fultonevich was an all-star for them last year and had a disastrous first half that saw him sent to AAA and miss a beat. If that had happened with the Phillies, there's no way they would have been able to sustain that. And I think that's why the Braves have done a better job of developing talent. And for all the accomplishments the Phillies lineup has, the Braves have had a better overall lineup in the first half of the season than the Phillies have had. Right now, I'm just not sure there's even a debate about who's a better team.
Okay, now, why is Washington in front of them? Because, I mean, they lost Harper. How have they made up for it?
They lost Harper, but Max Scherzer, he continues to find another level. And even when you get beyond Max Scherzer, which is hard to do because he's going to win another Cy Young this year, I think, they have Patrick Corbin, they have Steven Strasburg, and lineup-wise, if any team was built to sustain a loss of Bryce Harper or to be able to be all right after a loss, it was the Nationals with Trey Turner, with Anthony Rendon, with Juan Soto. They're another team that has done a remarkable job of developing internal talent, and the Phillies haven't completely lost out on that. They've developed Hoskins, they've developed Kingery, they developed Nola, but the Nationals and Braves have done a better job of that, and they've supplemented, especially in the case of the Nationals, with effective free agent signings like Max Scherzer.
All right, so now where to you is the line? You know what? You know, 2 weeks after this, is this the point where you're starting to seriously say, okay, they're on the right track, or they need to make deals? Is the 2 week window what you're looking at, Tim?
I think we've been in the tweak window in the sense that you could make a trade for a tweak around the edges type player like they did last year, like when they traded for Asdrubal Cabrera, someone that you're not going to give up a ton to get and you hope makes an impact, but if they don't, they don't. In terms of making a major trade that's going to require giving up prospects, and again, I don't really know who you're going to give up because I don't think they're giving up Alec Boehm. But even that aside, I think you get through this series with the Nationals, and then you have a four-game series with the Dodgers. And you know, at that point, you're going to have to legitimately say, if the Phillies go 2-5 in that stretch, does it make sense, even with all the needs, to really make that type of an impact trade? Because it's one thing to say, oh, well, those are two of the better teams in the National League. Well, that's how the playoffs work. You play the better teams in the National League. So if you don't feel like you can beat those teams, and if you don't feel like one impact really is going to move the needle, even if it's a very good trade, then you have to be honest with yourself.
Tim, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate it so much. What's the next topic on your podcast?
Friday, I'm going to go over the three things that the Phillies need to show us on or in the second half. So I'm certainly looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to viewing it as well. Thanks so much, Tim. Appreciate your time very much.
Awesome. Have a good one.